Well, hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. You know, we like to praise everything else. Oh, the weatherman did a great job. I don't know about y'all. He ain't my favorite person right now. Nah, he has nothing to do with it. He or she, whoever. We need to make sure that our praise, our total adoration, that's what it really means, is our adoration. You know, there's people we look up to, right? There's people that when we were younger we looked up to, and even now, there's even maybe leaders that we look up to. We need to make sure that we're looking to God with that, with greater affection than we do for any person on this earth. It's not saying we disrespect people, it's saying that we keep top priorities. Amen. Oh, praise God. Well, we've got just a couple quick announcements. Today, we have a fellowship meal next door. And also today, if you have anything for the newsletter, Miss Vicky is here. She's right there. Give it to her because today is the final day. And Compassion Cafe will be open next week from 9:30 to 10:15 in the conference center. Come and enjoy a hot breakfast, a coffee, milk, and all for free will donation. So keep that in mind for next week. We use that to, well, it goes into our benevolence fund. If somebody needs a little bit of help, we help. They don't even have to go here. If it's something that God leads us to do, we do it. Better get my tithe. Hallelujah. Well, let's bless this tithe and offering today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for all the goodness and the kindness that you are. Father, you and you alone are worthy of our praise, our adoration, Lord. We give it to you. We honor you today, Father, with our tithes and our offerings. Father, I pray that your word come to pass in all the believers' lives. Father, that as they trust you, as they try you, as your word has said, in this, to see if you will not pour out a blessing in our lives. Father, and as testament, I know you do. So bless us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. Praise God. Well, you know, the older I've gotten, for some reason, the more I like history. I don't know what it is. Joe, is it a disease? Okay. I really like, I mean, I watch stuff on inventions. When they were created, I watched this show called The Century in Inventions. It started in 1900 and ended in 2000. And every major invention that came up through the time. And I believe it was the 40s it got into. And this just tells you how far we've come and how much people expected of stuff, because we see it all the time and we don't think about it. But fiberglass was invented. And they were touting how, you know, it's strong, it's flexible, it can do this, it can do that. And, you know, and it doesn't burn. So what they decided to do, and this was the advertisement, I actually saw the commercial or the advertisement for this, and it said fiberglass comforters making smoking in bed safer. I had to laugh. I thought, okay, first off, bad slogan. Second off, if you've never been in fiberglass insulation, which is what they were making it out of, can you imagine sleeping under a blanket? Yes, you would just tear your skin off by morning. I mean, anytime I've been in an attic when it's cold, it's like, oh yeah, this is really warm in here. But then I have to remind that part of my brain that I've been engaging lately that says, why do it? It says, don't do it. Don't, you know what you're going to feel like. So I just had to stop to think the other day. It's like, wow. Yeah. We've made all kinds of things with fiberglass now. But just the fact that They thought you could make a comforter and make smoking in bed safer. Totally amazing. Well, praise God. Well, you know, God is a good God. He's not like the gods that we create and worship. You know, we create things, institutions even. And we worship them. And we come along with the rigid rules that go with them. Even religion in and of itself is worshiped by many. And this, I said this statement a while back, and I've actually had to look and understand it even more. But now that I've heard more of her words, her own words about Mother Teresa, I'm not saying she didn't go out and do good things, but it was why she did them. She did it to further the church, make the church look better. She wasn't helping people get out of poverty. That was the downside. See, religion wants to keep people in poverty. It gives us something to do. Looks like we're doing something, right? Instead of helping people, we keep them there. And it's kind of what welfare does in this country. Keeps people in poverty. So the question earlier this week that God started laying on my heart for today is, am I my brother's keeper? Genesis chapter 4. Verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, and God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Now we know, if you've been around for a minute in the body of Christ, you know Cain killed his brother Abel. He didn't use a gun. He didn't use an axe. He used a rock. Just a simple rock. But the question is, am I responsible for my brother? Well, let me explain how this worked out for Cain. God said, "What have you done? Your brother's blood is crying out." God had already warned Cain, for starters. He said, if you don't change your attitude, sin lies at the door. He was ticked off at God because God honored Abel's offering over his. The way the Bible records it is Abel brought the first fruits. Cain brought a portion or a partial of his flock. A lot of people have, or vice versa. I had them backwards, sorry. Abel brought forth the lambs. Cain brought forth the fruit because Cain was a vegetable farmer. That's what we call him, okay? He grew plants. If he'd had sheep, what would he have brought? Sheep. And so he didn't bring forth the first fruits, which was what God had required. And God didn't honor it. Made Cain mad. God said, "Cain, be careful, bud. Sin lies at the door of anger." What he was telling him. How many times have you done something in anger and instantly regretted it? I had a dream this morning. I mean, it was so real. I was somewhere here in town in a car and I was stopped, couldn't pull out, and some jerk in a fancy foreign car rear-ended me on purpose. I watched him in the rearview mirror. He was already throwing me gang signs. And then he bumped me. And I was like, "You've got to be kidding me. I can't pull out into traffic. Why would you rear end me?" And I threw the car in park and I jumped out. I ain't proud of what, this is a dream, okay, so don't get crazy. But I let him have the Marine side. And instantly, as soon as that word flew out of my mouth, I was even taking the next step and I said, "And I apologize for letting that come out." I should never have said that. And that's kind of the way we get. When we let our anger boil up, sin lies at the door. We will hurt somebody intentionally or unintentionally. Well, I don't know them, so I don't care. Well, that's why this message is today for you. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, hopefully by the end of this message, you're going to understand what a brother's keeper really is. Now, this was obviously his flesh and blood brother. But what if it was Tim and me? We're brothers in Christ. We go to the same church, so we have that bond. What about somebody else? Matthew. Is that the one I got next? Is Matthew? No, next. Just bring up the next one. Luke. Luke 10. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. I'll just stop right there. God dealt with me back here to deal with this story a little different. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to make it modern. And I'm going to make it me. We know this part. I'm going to tell you the prequel. Muslim was walking down the road. He was in New York City. Walked by an alley. Group of guys grabbed him, beat him up, stabbed him. Took what money he had and left him laying in the alley for dead. Along walks a well-known TV preacher. Got his three-piece suit on. Looks down the alley, sees the Muslim laying there in blood, crying out for help. The preacher says, I've got an appointment to be at. I can't do this today. I will appoint somebody else to come and do this. But I can't be bothered. So he walks on. A little bit later, praise and worship leader walks by. Looks down the alley. Sees the Muslim down there, says, I've got to get to the studio. They're expecting me. I have a job to do. I don't have the time to go help him. Besides that, he's a Muslim. A little bit later, here comes somebody from the church. Comes every week. Doesn't make a fit, doesn't draw attention. Worships God, loves God. Reads their Bible. Walks past the alley, looks up the alley and sees the man's body as he's holding on to life and life is slipping away. He hurriedly goes up, calls out, somebody call 911. Nobody else around. So he takes what he can, he takes his shirt off, rips it, makes bandages. Picks the man up, throws him over his shoulder, and carries him 10 blocks to the nearest hospital. Puts him on the gurney, and they start asking for information. The man says, I don't know him. But I tell you what, here's my name. When he comes to, you can get his name. But here's my name, here's my number, and here's my credit card. Jesus asked his disciples, based on a certain priest. I always like it when he says certain. It meant he had somebody in mind. That there was a real person. Somebody had actually done this. The priest, the Levite, and then the Samaritan. And he looked at his disciples. He said, which of them do you think did the will of my Father? Which of them do you think is his brother's keeper? That's paraphrased. The disciples all answered, well, of course, the one that stopped and helped. But you see, we become too wrapped up in, well, I will appoint somebody else to do it. I know many preachers, they can't be bothered to do anything. I think it's sad. I'm busy, but I got time to do what I have to do. I have priorities. This body is my top priority. I do other things, but this church is my priority. These people in this county, God had to remind me a while back why he called me back to Ohio. I was telling Johnny this morning, I said, I'm not a fan of the cold. And he says, you're in the wrong state. I said, oh, don't I know it. I said, if it were up to me, my boys would have all been raised Tar Heels. But I said, but you know, the reason I'm here was because what God told Angela and I. He said, I love the people of Morrow County. Morrow County has been looked down upon for a long time. At one time, I know we were at the very bottom of the wealth scale in the state of Ohio. Out of 88 counties, I think we were like 80. People look down because you don't have money. Maybe you're not driving the fanciest of cars. Maybe you don't have the PhD after your name. Maybe you didn't come from the right family. Well, I can tell you right now, if you dig far enough in your family roots, usually just one generation, those of you that are all hoity-toity and think your stuff don't stink, you're going to find the scoundrel. You're going to find the derelict. The person that we call the black sheep of the family. Not that far behind you. And so we get to thinking that we're better than everybody else. See, I'm not called to preach and evangelize to people to get them to save all the time. That's all of us. Okay, everybody needs to understand that. That's not my job. My job is to preach to Christians. To sharpen you. That's the purpose of the fivefold ministry, is to make you sharp. To get that cutting edge. You know, this sword, it's a cool sword, right? It's got a wicked point on it. I am not going to lie about that. But here, let me show you a little something. It's dull. It's dull. Nobody ever took the time to sharpen it. It looks scary. It looks like it can do something. But here's what's going to happen the first time. I saw all of you OCD people out there. But it looks like it could do something, doesn't it? But the first time that this drawn as a weapon would come down on something just as hard, that's going to snap. Because it's not been properly heat treated. Nobody ever told it the truth. If we aren't sitting in the fire sometimes on Sunday morning, we're never being heat treated. And thanks to Forged in Fire, heat treating is vital to the strength. But here's the problem with some preachers. They don't know that when the heat's too hot, you make the metal brittle. It's not as good. They think, I'm just going to keep my people on their knees all the time. You got to give that metal a rest. Pull it out at the right temperature. They can tell. Guys who do this for a living, they can tell when that steel is at the right temperature. They'll dip it in the oil. It'll go in a certain red. Some of these guys put it out, it is glowing. They always use that on a commercial, right? The flame. Did you know the flame's actually a bad thing? That means the steel's too hot, that you caught the oil on fire. That's why they're burning. The steel was too hot. But the ones that go in, they say, now that's a good quench. that's going to be a good blade. They know just by watching. Now, sometimes they don't break, the ones that are overheated, but they take damage. And if we are not our brother's keeper, and we do not understand who our brothers are, we're told to love our neighbor as ourself. Well, here's the first question. Who's my neighbor? How far out does this range go? I always say it's wherever you're at. That's a while back, you know, and here, I'm going to hit this first. A lot of people, I just mind my business. There's some things you need to mind your own business about. But if somebody's being attacked, somebody's been hurt, somebody's being abused, it now became my business. If I'm within eyesight, well, you might get beat up. I might also beat somebody else up. Would you ever think about that? Well, you might go to jail. Then I got a jail ministry. They won't let me in any other way, so why not? No. There was a video within the last year. And this happened, and I believe it was in New York City on a subway train. A woman was raped. The camera caught it. People moved to the front of the car and stayed in the car and let her be raped. Not one person stopped him. Not one lousy, spineless waste of life stopped him. That's rough, Pastor. Yeah, you're darn right it's rough. We become a mamby-pamby body of Christ. Jesus went into the temple with a whip that he made twice. Twice. And he whipped people with it. He wasn't just smacking the tables. He hit them with it. He said, "You've turned my house into a den of thieves." We don't pray for things anymore. We don't trust God. We don't believe God. We want to know how to be blessed, though. Do what God said, and you will be blessed. End of story. When Jesus came, he caused the blessing of Abraham to come upon you. When you said yes to Jesus, that transferred. Well, I just don't see this. Let me tell you something. First off, we just did the number one way, tithe. He said, "I'll rebuke the devourer." If you don't know what the tithe is, it's the first 10% of your income. Pastor, you do that? Yes, I do. Always have, and I'm here to tell you, I'm watching God's blessings come into my life, stacking up. That's how I can tell you. And so many people sitting here saying, "Amen, yes, try it, I dare you." Well, things are going kind of good. Kind of good is one thing. Great is a total, you ever figure that out? Great is a whole nother realm. It's a whole nother, it's like going from a Fiat to a Ferrari. Huge difference, even though Fiat owned Ferrari. There's a big difference. The Fiat, you're just, "Well, I just give me a little offering." The Ferrari is, "Oh yeah, I tithed." (laughs) 200 miles an hour in 20 seconds. And as you calm down, you can see what God has done. But all these religious people walked by and wouldn't help the person who needed help because of who they were. This is why the narrative today is so wrong. I don't have to agree with somebody's lifestyle. I don't. But it doesn't mean I hate them. It doesn't mean I'm a bigot. And homosexuality is not a race. Honestly, it's just a human race. That's it. We shouldn't let things, whether somebody's gay or not, whether we'll administer help. Well, they deserve it. Now, I've always told you, you know, if you're my brother or whatever, and you're out running your mouth, and you get in a fight, you're taking the first punch. You instigated it. However, after that, I believe in fighting like wolves. They ain't going to whoop you. But we look at people and say, well, you're different than me. I don't need to stop and help you. You're not a Christian. No, the Samaritan wasn't a Jew. But here's a fact that is left out. They were descendants of Abraham. Because guess who their father was? Jacob. Their father, Jacob, dug that well that Jesus was at. Everybody forgets that. We have got to remember that the people that we think, we look down on them, oh, you're just some dumb hillbilly. Now, I've had you raise your hand before, and most of you, your family came across the river with mine, just at different years. We're all in the same boat. Besides, I always like to tell a story. Because a lot of people like to throw the hillbilly jokes around, and ah, ha, ha, ha. Well, you know, I really am a hillbilly. I'm from Charleston. That's where I was born. One day, some southern Ohioans had gotten an argument across the river from hillbillies. Mountaineers were making fun of them Buckeyes. Buckeyes were making fun of the Mountaineers. They kept calling each other names. Buckeye said, oh yeah, I've got something for you. Goes back to the box, grabs a stick of dynamite, throws the stick of dynamite across the river. The old hillbilly picks up the stick of dynamite, looks at it, strikes a match, lights it, and throws it back. It's sinking in, I swear. How we look at people. That's not saying that everybody's at the same level. I was involved with a business that took people from every aspect of life. And there were some people who were doing well in it. But these two people at the same level in that business, one was college educated, had been an engineer for Firestone, and the other was a used car salesman who had 52 W-2s for 1 year. And I don't think they were all because he quit. But yet he was able to do this same thing. And somebody said, well, asked the other guy, he said, isn't it amazing that somebody like this is now equal with you? And the guy looked at him and said, just because we're the same level doesn't mean we're equal. The other guy still kept the same mindset. He didn't change things. The other one already had his mind changed. The difference between a poor person and a rich person is mindset. A poor person spends everything they got all the time. I can never get ahead. Stop spending. But I can't get ahead. Shrink your life if you have to. Well, I need to go out every Friday night to relax. No, you don't. I don't think I've gone out in 20 years. It's been a long time. And, you know, especially in the last 2 years, Friday night is spent on my couch with my feet up, eating a bowl of popcorn. I don't have to go out anymore. Doesn't mean I don't want to. I just don't have to. And since I quit drinking, well, those places don't appeal to me at all. And, you know, I'm like, well, why pay so much money to go to a movie theater, which I did take my wife to see a movie the other day. I was the only man in that movie theater. If that tells you what kind of movie I took her to. Yes, I am. But we judge just based on how somebody looks. People come into church. I love this meme that always shows up on Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, you've seen it. It's got a big burly biker dude sitting on the bench, and he's got reading the Bible or something. And people around him sitting there, look at him, he thinks he's a Christian, and he's praying, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. That's almost exactly what Jesus taught. The religious man's over here on the Lord. Lord, I thank you. I'm not like that cretin across the road. And the guy across the street won't even look up, and he says, Father, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm just not worthy. So we need to remember that even though we may have been saved for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, that doesn't amount to a hill of beans to God. That's nothing. Because that's not what he's judging you by. Matthew chapter 25. I'll give him a second to jump there now that I told my own story. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will say to him, answering, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I've told you this before in the words of Pastor Glenn Kaiser from Resurrection Band. The way you love the person least is the way you love God the most. So if you're still harboring feelings about because somebody's of a different color, they're of a different faith, this has got to stop in the body of Christ. There are people that are serious. You ain't going to heaven because you don't go to their church. They are dead serious. Boy, they are going to have such a shock when they see me. Jesus Christ is what matters. It's not our denominational name. It's not whether or not we have this great big cross on the top of our building. It's not for any of those reasons. It's because we said yes to Jesus. And I'm guessing there's an angel sitting over there. He's got a little vial of Jesus' blood. Dips that pen in it and writes our name. How we treat the least. How you're treating the hillbilly down the road. Start praying for them, not about them. You've probably noticed this is kind of a hot topic a lot. I want you to notice something. It's how we're judged. Of course I'm going to preach on it. I'm going to put you in the heat you up. And then I'm going to take you over to the grinder, and I'm going to grind an edge on you, and then I'm going to take you over to that piece of leather, and I'm just going to continually draw you across until you can shave with it. Because our lives is not about money. Our lives is not about blessing. They come. It is there. It's not our focus. And maybe someday soon, God will tell me to preach on it again. But until then, he's telling me we have got to make sure that we're doing what he said. We have to love people. Doesn't mean I agree with them. I love my brothers. I love my sisters. I love my sons. It doesn't mean I agree with everything they've done. And they know that. But I also know that as a father, I now have to take a step back and say, it's your life, your decision. You ask me for advice, I'm going to tell you what I think. But at this point, you got to deal with the decisions you make. I'll help you what I can help. I mean, I'm not a dummy. You know, if I just told Tim, that ice is too thin to walk on, and Tim just, I'm going to walk out on it anyhow, do you think I'm going to let him drown and freeze to death? No. I'm going to go get a rope and throw it to him, because if he fell in, guess what? Need both of us dying. No. We'll get him out. There's ways to do it. But you just got to use your head and ask God. How can I help? How do I do anything? I kind of like, I can't think of his name, Crush, the turtle on Nemo. Oh, hold up a minute. Let's see what little Squirt can do. Let's see what he can do. You know, it's kind of like when my boys started riding their bikes. Oh, they wanted to show me they could ride that bike. You know, in the back of my head, I'm thinking of all my bike wrecks. You know, the few scars that I've got from them. And I'm like, okay. And the one they all did when they learned how to ride their bike. Dad, look. Don't look at me. Look at where you're going. So, am I my brother's keeper? Absolutely. I most positively am my brother's keeper. You are your brother's keeper. Well, where does this stop? Well, let's see. Nowhere. Nowhere. If you saw somebody who's about to get electrocuted, wouldn't you try to stop them? Yeah, you should. Some people, mind your own business. No, it's not going to happen. I'll stick my nose where it doesn't belong some from time to time. There's a few places I've learned, just take a step back, deal with it a little differently. Because I stuck my nose one time and I was in a Wendy's. This mama bear was about to tear. Justin was with me, I think. Was it you or Jesse? It must have been. Was it you with me in Wendy's? It was Jesse then. This woman, she was taller than me. She was a force to be reckoned with. The guy in front of her, they got into it. And I mean, I'm like, serious? I mean, they were about to go fisticuffs. The husband, a lot bigger than her, just standing back there. I'm like, dude, what is going on? Let them drop. You're in a public restaurant. People are around, they're trying to eat. I was losing my appetite the longer they got into it. And I just spoke up and I said, hey, can you guys take us to the parking lot? Some of us would like to eat. Oh boy, you'd have thought I took his side. No, I'm like, kill him outside. I don't care what you do to him. You can beat him senseless. I just want to order my chicken sandwich. And anyhow, they got through, and she glared at me the whole time. She went in, and they sat down. That woman sat there and gave me the evil eye the whole time. And I'm like, and I ain't gonna lie, folks, the adrenaline hit me. You ever have adrenaline hit you? My back cramped up. It locked up, and I'm sitting there, had just started carrying, and the piece I was carrying was like a cannon, so it was just like, oh, that's making things worse. Oh, goodness. Oh. And I'm just trying to keep my peace, and then on the way out, she walks by, and she said, you shouldn't have said a thing. I said, I just told you to take it to the parking lot. I wanted to order. Nobody was ordering anymore. The two of you were next, and you were fighting. Go out behind the dumpster, throw him in it. I don't care. And all this because when she was in line, her son had walked in after her, and the guy in front of her had saw the kid. The kid made a face at his mom, and the little moron thought it was made at him and went to the bathroom and talked to him. Now, as a father, that's why I said he should let him drop. I would have thrown the guy in a dumpster. But she was a she-bear. And even though what I said was the truth and in innocence, wasn't taking a side, I learned that day, they're killing, mauling, I don't care. You can do it right here. It just was not worth it. But let me tell you what. If a woman was being raped on the bus or the train that I was on, that guy would be under the train. Well, you don't sound like you have compassion. You want to read your Bible? Please, people, read your Bible. Read it. Israel went in and they killed everything. We know why. They left the Philistines around, right? They didn't take the Philistines out. You know who the Philistines are today, right? They're called they used to be called the PLO or Palestine. That's who the Philistines are. But we have got to make sure. We're not Jews. Understand this. We are not Jews. We do not practice Judaism. We are Christians. Jesus was a Jew. But even the Jews got away from practicing what they were supposed to be. And that's why he pointed out that a certain priest and a Levite. Levites were the people that served in the church. And how they treated somebody was what Jesus was pointing out. And then later he'd say, this is how you're going to be judged. I talked to a person the other day. He was telling me about a little story. He reminded me of a story. He saw somebody that needed help. I think it was pouring down rain or whatever. They could have used a little bit of help. He could have gave it to them. He got by him and said, I should have went back. I should have helped them. But I'm in a hurry. Got to where he was going. Was going to buy the item he went to buy and found out we don't sell that in the store. It's only online. You're kidding me. I'm going to drive 100 miles for something I could have ordered in my living room. Why was he out, folks? He was out to help that person he drove by. I'll tell myself, I've done it before, I'm actually a little ahead. Years ago, when we still lived in town, I had to go to Mansfield to get something. And I passed a young man walking down 42. You know, typically, if you're that side of the jail and people are heading towards Mansfield, you know where they just came from. There's one of two places they're going. Back to Mansfield because they just came from jail, or they're heading to the campgrounds over by my house. Okay? And I saw this kid, he was a young man, walking. It's raining. And I blew right by him. I'm in a hurry. I got to get to Mansfield and get back. I saw him. I got to Mansfield. Didn't get everything I wanted because they didn't have everything. And I'm coming back down 42. And I get just outside Williamsport. And I see that same young man still walking in the rain. And when I saw him, I was probably half a mile off. God said, "Didn't I tell you to pick him up?" Now here's the thing, folks. God didn't tell me specifically to pick him up. And this is what the guy and I were talking about. God doesn't always come out and say, "Sarah, I want you to do this." I drove by him knowing I should have picked him up. I was like, "Yes, Lord, you did." So I went up to the next driveway, turned my truck around. I had a 350. They aren't exactly known for great gas mileage. I turned the truck around, pulled up to him. I put the window down and said, "Hey, do you need a ride?" He said, "I would appreciate it." He said, "Nobody will come pick me up." I said, "Where are you heading?" As he shut the door. Anybody guess where he was heading? Mansfield. I took another trip to Mansfield up behind Kingwood Center and dropped him off. But in the meantime, I got the chance to talk to him about God. Like I said, what are they going to do? Bail? Knock yourself out, which you probably will. Pull a knife on me? Seriously, dude, I'm driving. I'm the one keeping 4,500 pounds on the road and away from that telephone pole on your side of the car or the vehicle. Well, he might shoot you. Same concept. You ever pay attention? Most of them don't put their seatbelts on. I'm not worried. Besides that, like I told you, when I'm doing God's will, there's angels around me. There's angels even when I'm out of his will. There's actually might be more angels when I'm out of his will. All right, Art's about to do something stupid again. Come on, guys, we need reinforcements. God told him 2 hours ago to cut that tree down. Look what the fool's doing. Get ready. But understand, we are called to extend kindness and goodness. The word that was used in that about the Samaritan seeing it was mercy. He had mercy, which is compassion. And the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on people. When the body of Christ becomes compassionate to our people, people within the church, people within our community, our neighbors. "Well, I don't get along with my neighbors." So what? You're not going to be friends with everybody. That's just an unfortunate part of life. "Well, they're just rough." So what? Sow the seed. You never know what some kindness can do to one person. Amen? All right, let's stand. You know, I didn't actually look to see who you were holding the whole time. I thought you were holding Maverick. She's getting so big. It's just like, it can't be possible. Praise God. Love one another. That's where you start. And then go out in your sphere of influence and wherever you're at. Show kindness. Show mercy. Use your head as well. Sometimes God says there's a problem. Drive on by. See, and I've told you before, me and God, we have an agreement on picking up hitchhikers. I won't do it with my family in the car. I'd pick up hitchhikers coming from Columbus, 3:30 in the morning. Just me and a hitchhiker, I don't know. Showing some kindness. Again, what are you going to do? I'm driving 70 miles an hour. Shoot me. Bridge embankment's on your side. Telephone poles are on your side. I'm going to heaven. "But don't you want to see your family?" Oh, absolutely. But if God told me to pick somebody up, he ain't going to shoot me, so. Because I'm telling you, God's not going to tell possibly Monica to pick somebody up. Or Sarah. They might tell Tim, hey, pick his guy up. Besides that, who's dumb enough to pull a gun on a guy that's got Semper Fi U.S. Marines on the back of his thing? His license plate says Marines. He's always got something that says Marines. You never know what he's got in a truck. I would be stupid enough, I guess. But anyhow, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that we are part of the body of Christ. Father, I pray right now that you help us all to hear your voice clearly, to feel your unctions of the Holy Spirit telling us to do something, something we know we should do, whether it be give somebody some food, buy somebody's lunch, put some gas in somebody's car. Father, whatever it is, help us to sharpen our hearing so that we may know and follow you. Father, I believe these messages like this are vital to sharpening our hearing, to sharpening who we are. Father, I pray for each and every person. Lord, I pray that you move in their lives. Father, help them to overcome things that they're struggling with. Father, help them to drive that stake into that thing's heart, that they may be free. And also, Lord, that they may grow closer, that their heart's desire would be for you. The Father, that they're not caught up in glamour, but they're caught up in you. They're caught up in your love, your humility. Lord, I thank you that you still love us, even when we fail. Now, Father, I am truly grateful for each and every person in here today. Father, those that couldn't be here today, Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them all. Father, I pray for those who may be experiencing some illness. I pray your healing power right over them right now in Jesus' name. We curse sickness and disease. Father, I speak life to people with pneumonia. Recovery, quick recovery. Father, I thank you that you're moving in each and every believer's life. Father, that you're going to turn these things that the week may have been a bad week, but you're going to turn it to good for those who love you, who are called by your name, and we do your will. Father, I thank you that you're creating miracles where there was no hope. Father, bless your people now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh. If you take a pause for a moment, just a pause, bow your head. Father, we thank you for the